We are so grateful for our church, and it's really been another wonderful year. And here in just a few weeks, I'm excited to be able to share and celebrate all that God has done through our generosity and through our church and everything He's preparing to do next for us and all the things that God has given us vision. You know, with Legacy Season being here, I want to encourage you, don't miss a single weekend. There's opportunities where God is going to increase your faith, and you don't want to miss that one word. There could be one weekend that there's that one word you need to hear, and you never know when that's going to be. God oftentimes will speak to you in an unknown moment, little moment. Sometimes He speaks in a whisper. Sometimes He shakes your head and makes you have a concussion almost. Like there are times when, yes, He speaks in a gentle whisper, but He's also a roaring lion at the same time. And sometimes we need that roaring lion to shout in our face because we're a little stubborn sometimes. But don't miss a single weekend. Don't miss this series. It's not just another series. This is who we are as a church. We believe in building upon generation after generation because we don't want the next generation to not know the things of God. And so we're all about building generationally. And this is how we build something that outlives us. To think about the future. To think how God, when He spoke to His people, He always spoke in three generations. Oftentimes when you'll see in Scripture, He'll say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like He would speak in three generations. Why did He do that? Because God thinks legacy-minded. He doesn't think just about you. He thinks about the generations that are to come. And this is how, through legacy, we lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. This is how we reach one more. How many have been praying about reaching one more? This is our theme for the year. And so I'm giving you some context for those that are new, especially those that have been here less than a year. I want you to know that Legacy Offering, which is 3 weeks away, December 7th, every year the people of Skybreak come together and we bring our best sacrificial offering. We give to accelerate the vision that God has given us, that you're actually here because of seeds sown through an offering like what's coming up. And I'm grateful for the seeds that have been sown that way I can be here. Come on, how many are you grateful for all those people that have been here all these years? And I know you've heard me say it, but I cannot wait to give back to God in a way that stretches my faith. I have found that every time that I stretch my faith, God always finds a way to meet me in that area, that level of sacrifice. He increases something within me that gives me hope for things that I didn't know I could have hope for. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do in your life, my life, through the life of our church. And I'll tell you, very specifically, I've prayed for those who will, again, give $100,000 in the offering. Some of you are like, people really do that? Yes, they actually do, because they believe in what God is doing in our church. And I've also prayed for those who will give $100, because here's the thing I want you to understand. In the kingdom of God, the amount doesn't reveal the size of sacrifice. The heart does. Legacy is not about an equal gift, but it is about equal sacrifice. And your sacrifice will reveal your why. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. The truth is, we talk about legacy and we spend an entire series on it. People have asked the question, why do you spend an entire series on it? Well, you invest in what you value. You invest in what you value. What you value always costs you something. Your kids cost you something. Your spouse costs you something. It does. Why? Because you value it. And you invest in what you value. What we're doing is worship. That word literally comes from the two words, worth-ship. It's saying, God, you deserve so much more, but out of what you've given me, here is my worship. Here is my sacrifice back to you. And there's a story in the Gospels that depicts what sacrifice looks like and how irrational generosity towards Jesus is a way that we should all strive to live by. Have you ever wondered why certain moments in life refuse to fade? What I mean? Like why some stories never die? Like why we're still talking about things that happened decades ago or thousands of years ago? Well, today we're going to look at one of those moments. And every year during our legacy season, I preach this passage. And here in a few moments, you're going to see why. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. It is probably one of the most valuable passages of Scripture that we will read today because Jesus signifies it to be so. We're going to read verse 6 through about 13. And this is what it says. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price. They would say a year's wages is what it was worth, and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus responded and said to them, why are you bothering this woman? See how they say why and he responds with why? Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. And this is a famous line that is so amazing to me that Jesus says. He says, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. He was saying this to tell them that he was about to go to the cross. They still couldn't get it. Jesus is trying to get them to understand. The poor you always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. In verse 13, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Somebody say amen to the reading of the word. So I want to preach to you from the question today, why are we still talking about this? Why are we still talking about this? Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing. God, I thank you for this legacy season. I thank you for every family in this room today or watching from the other side of a screen, wherever they may be. God, you know right where we all are. You know each of us individually. You know the hairs on our head. You know us by name. You know every emotion, every fear, every doubt, everything that we're walking through, every situation. And God, you are right here within us, within the midst of us. And so God, we ask that you would speak to us today. Let your word go forth and let it fall on good soil, soil that will reap a harvest in due season, that fruit would be bared. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said a big amen. Amen. Give someone another big hug before you take a seat. Big squeeze. Just a big old squeeze. Have you ever noticed that your kid's favorite word is why? Tell me y'all beat me to the punch. It's why. I know for me and my kids, like, the question is always just why. Why is the sky blue? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I gotta clean my room? Why can't we have Chick-fil-A on Sunday? You know, all the things, all the whys. But you see, why, the question why, is how they learn. As adults, we don't often ask that question as much, maybe out loud, but we feel it, we wonder it. And you see, generosity always forces us to confront our why. And today, I want to very transparently tell you why I give. Not to pressure you, not to guilt you, but so maybe you can discover today your why. I was taught very early on in my life as a young teenager, even as a young adolescent, to tithe. I was raised in church. I'm four generations that I know of that have been in church, three generations that have been in ministry of some sort of pastoring or ministry of some kind. And I was taught, I was raised, it was something that I was always told to do. And I began to understand it as I became older, and there came a point in my life where I chose it for myself. I had learned that everything that I have came from God, so returning to Him the tithe was no longer a fight, it was a reflex. And I want to give you a gentle nudge today. If talking on tithing or giving makes you shift in your seat a little, if something kind of tightens up in your chest when we talk about this word generosity, then maybe it's not a money problem, maybe it's a master problem. Because the Bible tells us, Jesus says that you can only serve one master, you cannot serve two masters. Proverbs 11 even goes on to say that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, while the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I'll say it like this. Generosity enlarges your world while stinginess shrinks it. I can remember, speaking of the offering coming up, I can remember the very first time many years ago when Kendall and I were really first married, just trying to figure out what this whole thing was about. We were young. We got married at 18 and 20. She was 18 for 5 days and then turned 19. I had to rob it while I could, trying to get in there. But I can remember many years ago when Kendall and I gave our first $1,000 in the legacy offering, when God spoke to said, I want you to give $1,000. So that was everything. It was like cleaning out the savings account. We had nothing. I drove for Uber even just trying to make ends meet. Yeah, I really did. I could tell you some stories about Uber. But I remember those moments. I can remember when some years later had passed that God spoke to Kendall and I, and we had had a few kids by that point, and he said, I want you to give $1,000 per person in your family. And I was like, you said what? Are you serious? But every time God stretched me, he increased my faith. My faith didn't grow when I stayed comfortable and what I knew that I could do. My faith grew when I sacrificed, when I planted a seed that would cost a little bit. T.D. Jakes, the famous Bishop T.D. Jakes, said a famous quote one time. He said, you've got to learn to feed what feeds you. I think it's such a powerful quote because when you refuse to give back to what gives you life, you break the system God created. Like when Jesus talks about the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree, he didn't curse the fig tree because it was bad. He cursed it because it stopped producing. It was no longer providing fruit to be eaten, and so Jesus cursed it. You see, when you violate the law of God's system, you stop the law of God's harvest. I want to say it again. When you violate the law of God's system, the things that he put in place, the ways that he orchestrated our world to work, then you stop the law of God's harvest. There is a promise of when what you sow is what you'll reap. Jesus even goes on to say that the measure you use will be measured back to you. I talked a little bit about that last week. And that's why when we get to Matthew 26, I am amazed by this woman. She walks into a room full of men, full of opinions, but she's already made up her mind. She was saying to herself, I'm giving something significant to Jesus today. And the Bible says that she pours out this perfume. It was pure nard is what it got. It would cost a year's wages. So whatever your yearly salary is, this is what she was pouring on Jesus. Think about that for a minute. A full year's wage. And she was pouring this pure nard, this perfume, on the head and the feet of Jesus. And the disciples begin to become indignant and complain, why this waste? The disciples are reclined at a table and begin to complain. I mean, they're just sitting there casually. And they're like, why is she wasting all of this? Think of the insult to their rabbi that their accusation represented. Like, come on, I know he's a good teacher and all, but really the whole bottle of perfume? Like this was the conversation at a table, and they begin to ask the question, why? Why? And you see, people do the same today in church. They come to church and they ask the questions, why do people clap and lift their hands during worship? Why do they sing? Why do people shout amen? Why do people give? Because maybe God brought them through something that you don't know about. Maybe they've been fighting the devil all week. Maybe they're carrying a burden that's too heavy to carry on their own. Maybe this is their moment of surrender. Maybe they value the word of God like some sports fans value a touchdown when they're screaming for people in spandex running on a field that they don't even know about. Maybe they value the word of God that's being preached that they aren't ashamed to admit that they need God right now. So before you judge somebody's worship, remember you don't know their warfare. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know the weight that they're carrying. You don't know the things that God has, what he's done for them and how far he's brought them through. You don't know their warfare. So don't judge someone's worship when you don't understand their warfare. We've got to understand that worship is more than a playlist or a genre of music. You know, we have that today in our world. You know, we're like, well, I got my rock playlist. I got my country playlist. I got my worship playlist. And we classify it as a playlist. We classify it as a genre of music. But worship doesn't start when somebody comes up on a stage and grabs a guitar. Worship is not an activity that is confined to the realm or expression of music. No, worship is what comes from your heart to express what God is worth to you. That's what worship is. And these disciples, they devalued her act because maybe they had grown too familiar with Jesus. Have you become too familiar with the presence of God that every time you come in, it's so easy for you to say, why? Familiarity will always cheapen your worship. It will always make things feel less valuable. But you see, she saw something that they didn't. And to them, it was a waste. But to her, this was everything. This was worship. You see, when you study this story, you see where Matthew just says, well, it was a woman. A woman came and he brought, she brought this perfume and poured it on Jesus. But I believe that there is somebody else who talked about this moment. Yeah, that's right. John has his own account of this woman in chapter 12. But you see, in John 11 and 12, in John chapter 11, Jesus raised a man by the name of Lazarus from the dead. I mean, you know the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. He was dead in the grave for 4 days, and Jesus came and he raised him from the dead. But then when you get to John chapter 12, the Bible says something very, very interesting. You see, the problem is you cannot understand my chapter 12 if you don't first understand my chapter 11. I'm not talking about some U.S. tax code. But maybe for you, it's a spiritual bankruptcy. Maybe you're dealing with something in your life and your chapter 11, you can't understand my chapter 12 if you don't know my chapter 11. And so when we get to John chapter 12, verse 2, it says, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Okay, Lazarus, the same Lazarus that in chapter 11 was raised from the dead. Are you catching this? And then verse 3, here it is. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard and expensive perfume. Oh, now I see why. This woman wasn't just any woman. This wasn't just someone, a woman who came in like Matthew's account is saying. No, then Mary, the one who saw her brother get up from the grave. You've got to understand, when you read John chapter 11, Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus. Then Mary, the one who knelt at the feet of Jesus and said, if you would have only been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have just been here, he waited 4 days. Why did you wait 4 days? Then Mary, the one who took him to the very place where her brother laid and watched Jesus do what only he could do. Now I get it. Now I understand why it was such a natural thing for her to pour out something so significant, so expensive. She had experienced Jesus do something in her life. That was her why. This is the one who raised my brother from the dead. This is the one who heard my cry. This is the one who saw me through my darkest valley of my life. This is the one who stood with me in my dark time. This is the one who gave me help when I needed it. This was the one who gave me strength when I had none. This is what Mary is saying. And to Mary, the perfume wasn't expensive enough. To Mary, the worship wasn't extravagant enough. It wasn't large enough for the one who brought her brother back from the grave. And if you've ever had God bring you out of anything, if he's ever lifted your head or healed your heart or put your family back together or provided for you when you didn't know how you were going to make it, then you understand Mary's worship. You understand the weight of the decision that she was making when she would take a year's wages and pour it on Jesus. I don't give because it makes sense. It's my worship. He's my God. He is worth all of it. He's worth everything. You see, they saw it as waste. I can't imagine. I can't imagine Jesus in that moment. Jesus, like, if I ever wanted to take back that scripture, just turn the other cheek, I want to punch somebody right now. Think about it for a minute. They're sitting here indignant saying, why this waste? Why would this woman do this? And he's looking at him like, do you not understand what's happening? Do you not see that I am going to bear a cross for you? And nobody's here preparing me for this burial. But yet this woman who saw something, who understood that I came and showed up for her, came and prepared my body for burial. What you see as waste is worship to me. They said it doesn't take all that. Why does she got to do that? And she said, no, he is worthy of this and so much more. And the reason that they called it a waste is because they did not understand her worship. They did not understand the value and the worth that Jesus was to her. Can I ask you a question today that may cause you to stir a little? What is Jesus worth to you? What is he worth to you? I don't want us to ever waste opportunities to worship him. In our casual lives and in the moments that we live in America and we have all this casual Christianity and just because you're born in America, you can call yourself a Christian, that ain't what a real Christian is, no. It's someone who picks up their cross, who lays down their life, someone who denies themselves for Christ. It's someone who is devoted to the teachings of Jesus. It's someone that says, it's not my life, it's yours, God. Do with me how you want to. It's not this casual Christianity where you come to church on Easter and Christmas Eve and can go to heaven. That's not Christianity. We call them the C&Es, the Christmas and Easter people. He's not the one that I just come to church when I need him and all hell is breaking loose in my life and I hadn't been here in 6 months. No, he's worth more to me than that. He gave me everything. He gave me breath in my lungs. He gave me eyesight. He gave me a mouth to speak, hands to move, feet to walk. Like, I owe him everything. He gave me a wife. He gave me kids. He gave me everything I have. He gave me parents. He gave me a mother that showed me how to fight. He gave me a father who taught me how to lead. He gave me everything. I don't want to waste a moment to worship. I don't care if people look and say, that's a waste, because they don't know my warfare. They don't know what he means to you. Now, I don't always feel like praising God. Pastor, are you serious? I don't. There are times I walk in here on a Sunday and I'm like, God, I need you because I really don't want to be here right now. Yeah, I have those thoughts too. Why? I'm human. I take a shower just like you every day. Hopefully you take a shower every day. I put on deodorant just like you. Well, some people don't put on deodorant, but I put on deodorant every day. But I don't always feel like praising God. I don't always feel like it, but I don't want to waste a chance to worship him. And so when I don't feel it, I faith it. I didn't say fake it. I said faith it. because I know what His Word says. And I still know what He's worth to me. And if I go and lead my life off of my feelings, then I know that I will be swayed to and fro. My feelings will always lead me to a place of destruction. It will never lead me to a place of positivity or encouragement or lift my head. But knowing what His Word says, I don't live by my feelings. I live by my conviction. I live by my faith. And this woman, Mary, she knew that if she kept this perfume, that if I keep this perfume, I'll just smell good for a little while. But if I pour it on Jesus, it will live for a lifetime. Why are we still talking about this? Some of you maybe have asked the question about why are we spending an entire series? Why are we still talking about this? The same question being asked today, why are we still talking about this story? Why are we talking about a woman that Matthew calls? Why are we talking about Mary that John finally reveals to us? Well, I want you to watch what Jesus said. He said, truly I tell you, wherever, somebody say wherever, this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told. Where the gospel is preached, this story must be told. Out of all the stories, out of all the miracles, out of all the things that happened with Jesus, this was the one that marked history. This was the only one that said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be told in memory of her. What she has done will never go unnoticed. And now, for 2,000 plus years later, the fragrance of her sacrifice still fills this room today. You see, some stories make headlines and they'll come and go within 24 hours. Tragedies will happen. And within days, they're there, they're gone. It's not really talked about much. But there are others that echo for thousands of years. And the crazy thing is, this one wasn't flashy. It wasn't public. It was in a private home. A dinner. It wasn't loud. She came in and spoke no words. But it was one woman, one moment. And somehow, for some reason, Jesus said, we're going to be talking about this forever. And this is why we bring a legacy offering. Not because we're trying to raise money for some projects, but because we're trying to raise legacy. We're building altars to the Lord. That way generations that come after will say, what did God do there? And we will be able to tell them, this is what God's done. This is where He's brought you from. And it's hard to appreciate it when you don't have a chance to talk about it. Because every dollar that we give will help reach one more. Somebody say one more. It will help reach one more Lazarus, one more prodigal, one more marriage, one more student, one more family, one more generation, one more. Somebody shout one more. Mary gave because Jesus changed her story. We give because we believe Jesus will change someone else's story. You see, sacrifice becomes easy when you remember that your generosity will help God reach another person. That the things that we do will help reach one more. We're reading a story that is reaching people even right now under the sound of my voice. Mary didn't even have to speak. Her worship spoke louder than her voice ever could. It spoke so loud that we're still talking about it today. You see, Jesus went on to claim and say one time, He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, we can spend a lot of money on a lot of worthless things. How many would agree? We do it. We spend a lot of money on a lot of worthless things. Everything I've ever bought, it's always eventually faded. It broke, it wore out. I mean, nothing has lasted the test of time. But I'll tell you this, I have never regretted anything, anytime, anywhere that I've given back to God. Ever. Ever. And I've been doing it for decades. I can say that now because I'm in my 30s. Why are we still talking about this? Because legacy offering isn't just an offering, it's an opportunity to worship. It's an opportunity to plant seeds. It's an opportunity to reach one more. It's an opportunity to show God what He's worth to us, what He means to us. And we are still talking about this. Why? Because there are people right now in this room and that are watching online who need Jesus. Right now. And maybe you're under the sound of my voice right now, or you're watching this some days or years later. Maybe this is your chapter 12 moment. Maybe this is where you're saying, I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I need a second chance. Because God is a giver. We know that by the famous scripture that we get to receive, and we actually are that one more person. That John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave. The ultimate thing. The thing that gave us salvation. The thing that gives you grace. The thing that covers your sin. It's not just the thing. He is our God. How many are thankful that God gave His Son for you, that you don't have to live in your trespasses of sin, that God can take your grave and He can turn it into a garden. He can take your sin and turn it into something that's better than sin. Come on, thank you, Jesus. That's grace. And then Romans 10:9 goes on to tell us that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, it says, and that God raised Him from the dead, it says, you shall be saved. And there are some of you here today that maybe you've never prayed that prayer. That you've never asked God to be Lord of your life. You're hearing today that there is a God that came and sacrificed Himself, a pure, holy, sinless, blameless, spotless lamb, the Bible says. That was the only way. That something had to die that was perfect to atone for the sins of all of humanity. And Jesus said, that's me. That He came and He fulfilled not just miracles on this earth, but He brought the gospel to all of people, all of creation. That we, who are Gentiles, not of the Jewish people that Jesus came through, we as the Gentiles, the gospel has now reached us. And because the gospel, through these words, through women like Mary, who it poured out extravagantly for a God that was worth so much to her, because of moments like that, we now have scriptures today where we get to hear and see and touch and feel the Word of God. This isn't one book. It's actually 66 books that have been compiled together through proven, the most proven archaeological fact in the world, by the way. Nothing comes closer to it. The matter of fact that science, the more and more that they try to unpack that this ain't real, they find getting closer and closer that this is real. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, because it's the Word of God. And this word here is what will set you free. Here's what I want to do with every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus and you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is our Savior. But maybe you've never confessed with your mouth that, like Romans 10:9 says. I want to give you that chance today, because as much as you may be a good person and do good deeds and feed the hungry and do all these amazing things, there's only one way to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And that is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's by calling on the name of Jesus, believing in Him. The Bible says if you'll do that, you'll never perish. That when you breathe your last breath on this earth and you take your next breath into eternity, that if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord, it says that you will be able to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And I want to give you that chance today. Maybe you're saying, I need a fresh start. He will give you a fresh start. He gives you a do-over. Why? Because He has a plan for your life that you can't even conjure up in your own mind. He actually has a purpose for you. He designed you for something specific. We often run away from it, but God says, if you'll come back to me, I'll put you back on the path that I designed you, and I'll allow you to fulfill the mission that I set forth in your life. You want your life more fulfilled? Follow Jesus. You want your life to have more meaning? Accept Jesus. I'm not saying accepting Jesus, I'm not going to do like what maybe some have told you. If you accept Jesus, everything's going to be great. No, it's actually not going to be everything great. Now the devil's going to come at you. But here's what you have. You have a hope. A hope that will never fade. A hope to know that the enemy only comes after those he feels threatened by. Are you facing some things right now? Yeah, it's because the devil knows that if you accept Jesus and if you turn to him, that it's gonna break hell open, and people are gonna come out that ain't died yet that are gonna go to heaven one day. He is threatened by you. So here's what I want to do. I want us to pray that prayer today. And if you want to pray this prayer with me for the first time, or maybe you've walked away from Christ and you know in your knower that I'm not living right, and today is your day to come back like the prodigal son and say, I'm coming back to the Father. I want us to all pray this prayer in this room, online, wherever you're at. Let's pray it out loud where our ears can hear us. Let's make this confession today. Say, Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And today I ask you'd forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. And I believe that God raised you from the dead to give me life and life more abundantly. Help me all the days of my life to live fully devoted to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody shout a big amen. 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 Hey, one thing I want to do, nobody leaving just yet, is one question I want to ask, and that is for those of you that prayed that prayer today for the first time or rededicated your life, I want you to know something. I want to get this Word of God in your hands. If you don't have a Bible, I want to give you a Bible. And I want to help you with your next steps, because you can ask yourself the question after praying a prayer like that, what next? What do I do now? What does this all even fully mean? And we're going to help you with that. We're going to show you through the Word of God what He has to say about the decision that you just made. And I would love to know who that was. Us as a church would love to celebrate you. We all have been where you were one day and raised our hand and said, that was me. I accepted Jesus. So here's what I'm asking you to do. When I say three, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, rededicated your life, coming back to Jesus, I want you to lift your hand on the count of three so we can celebrate with you, so our team can give you a Bible and help you with these next steps. Are you ready? One, two, three. Come on, church. Come on, church. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. God bless you. Come on, let's celebrate all these people. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Our team is moving. They're going to bring you a Bible. If you didn't raise your hand, I want to encourage you to stop by the info hub. We'd love to give you those tools and help you today. Why don't you stand to your feet? How many are excited about Legacy Offering just in a few weeks? I want to encourage you, stop by the letters on your way out. Take your family. Pray over what God would have you do. Let's pray, prepare, and let's participate in a few weeks. God bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. We love you, church. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.